whatever your lofty, ambitious, inspiring goal is, and you should have one, by the way, have one, get really clear about it, and then don't let it overwhelm you. Just each day, do something, take one bite towards it.
I just wanted to help a few salon owners who I could see were in a bit of trouble, and I knew the answer. And I knew they needed someone in their corner, because what I witnessed when I worked for the industry rather than in the industry is...
Don't just be the best, be the only. Like, be so good that you're actually not in the same category as everyone else that you would consider competition. And the actual pathway or how to do that is every single day wake up and...
Welcome back to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. We are at episode 501.
500.
10 years and 1 week later.
Awesome.
Thanks for joining me, Joel.
So good to be here.
Hey, I'm not going to pretend that this is just like any old number in any old episode. Last week, we did the 500th episode, and so this week is 501. And it's been a 10-year journey, and we decided to cover off the 9 things. Actually, it ended up being 10, because remember we had an extra one?
Growth breaks things.
Yeah, growth breaks things. Yeah. I forgot about that one. So there's the 10 things that we say the most often, that we talk about. It comes out of our mouth all the time. It's kind of like the quotes and mantras of business. And we got through the first 5, well, 6 kind of, 5.5. And so we want to cover off the rest of them today. But before we do that, last time we spoke about how what got you here won't get you there. That was the last one that we wrapped up the last episode. So if you haven't listened to that episode, you're very welcome to stop now and go back to the episode before this, because we talked about how consistency builds a brand and how that's really worked for us over the last 10 years running this podcast, how the numbers will always tell you what to do next in the business. And we talked about the 3 seasons of profit. 3 seasons of being a profitable business.
Yep.
And we talked about how simplicity scales and how complication actually fails. And we had a bit of a conversation about what are some of the things that leverage simplicity. And so as humans, we overcomplicate like way too much. We talked about systems and processes shall set you free, and how people run the systems, your people will run the systems. The systems are the things that lead the work, which actually holds us to being consistent. Right. And then all our job is just to lead the people and help the people win. And then lastly, we talked about what got you here won't get you there. Like that was pretty good. But we decided that you'd arrived at your destination wherever you were listening to us, and we just wanted to join you again.
You're probably doing the best you can right now in business. Like that's probably most people at the peak.
Yeah. So I kind of wanted just to before we get into the next few, just talk about what got us here. Because it's not going to get us to where we're going, Joel. For us, you know, we're at a 10-year mark and we've got some pretty big goals.
We do.
And I want to start by actually saying thanks to you, Joel.
Oh, is that all right? This is a bit of a moment. Hang on. Are you ready?
Well, I reached a point in business where I realized like I'd got as far as I could get on my own. And if I think about the mantra, what got you here won't get you there. And when I thought about that, I actually thought about you, because we'd done a few podcasts together. Maybe you'd come and done a couple of workshops. Your wife had worked for me in my salon. We've been around each other's worlds for a little while.
Yeah.
And I realized that we really had a shared vision for the industry of how the industry could be better. And we had some shared interest around the way that we wanted to do business. And we decided that you should come and join the journey.
Join the party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
great.
I really just bring that up because it kind of fitted into the what got us here won't get us there. Like I feel like you see possibility in people, not only me, thanks for that, but the owners that we work with the team, and actually for the whole industry. And you see that in people before they see it in themselves. And so I'm very grateful to have you on this journey with me. And Joel doesn't always just agree with me. He tells me when I'm wrong or when things aren't quite right.
Teamwork.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a lonely journey when you're in business on your own.
Yep.
And it's part of why Seller Mastery exists, so people aren't alone, because it's not for everyone to be in a business partnership.
Mm.
But I think there is more value for us being in business and on this journey together than there is doing it alone. And so,
1,000%.
You're the best partner in crime I could have asked for. Thanks.
Hey, high five, 500 episodes. Appreciate that, Russ. So that was that number five? What got you here, what get you there?
It is.
Okay.
And what got us here to 10 years, Joel, is not going to get us to where we're going to be in 10 years, another 10
years. So we
have
to keep drinking that Kool-Aid like forever, don't we?
Exactly.
Like, whatever exactly. You want next, you're going to have to reinvent yourself and go big.
But I think certainly like the next one makes sense. Like together we can impact the industry better.
Mm.
And that next one is do better.
Do better. I feel like there's an exclamation mark after the do better.
There is. So shall I start with like, I'll tell you the beginning of the story and then you can pick it up from PG.
Sure.
So I have two very close friends. We spend a lot of time together and we go and do crazy, both from the industry, both salon owners. And we have a good time together, but we also lift each other up a little bit, you know, push each other a little bit harder. And my bestie at this particular point, obviously I was having a moan about something and she just turned around and looked at me square in the eye and just said, well, Larissa, just do better. And what can you say to that?
That's nothing, the end of the combo. Right?
There's nothing to say other than just
full stop. Enter.
Do better.
End of book.
But somehow that mantra made its way into one of our intensives.
Yeah, it did. I think the next week, Larissa showed up to the office and told us to do better, and then we had the same experience. It's like it's such a confronting statement, but it's also kind enough to realize that like it's actually really achievable just to show up the next day and do better. So we're in Fiji and we're opening up Fiji and we're doing some framing statements. There's like three or four framing statements to help people to really get where we're coming from. And we get to the last one and we undo the blue tack from the ceiling because it's kind of like a bit of a reveal and it just says do better on it. And I swear like after 3 days in paradise doing some amazing, amazing things, so what was the best thing that you got out of intensive? Like people were literally standing up and going, I just need to do better. And honestly, as for two words, it has such a profound impact.
I do think it's relevant though. Like outside of that story, it is relevant for like from 2026 for us to really not just arrive in 2027 or even 2030 surviving, but to be actually thriving. We do need to do better.
Totally.
As business owners, for the industry, and just for ourselves to arrive in a profitable and successful business, average isn't going to cut it. Like this, the way the world and the pricing and all of the problems of the world are going, like it's not enough to just be average.
Yeah, me and Coach Soph often have this like once a year conversation around don't just be the best, be the only. Like be so good that you're actually not in the same category as everyone else that you would consider competition. And the actual pathway or how to do that is every single day, wake up and do better.
Do better.
Yeah.
Even if it's just to do better than yourself.
Yeah, totally.
It's not a competition.
Not a competition at all. But you'll find yourself in a category of one if you keep doing better every single day.
That's a good segue to our next one, which is a rising tide lifts all boats.
It is. The boat analogy. So if you can imagine a harbour and there's a whole lot of boats, and the tide goes up and all the boats go up. So in that, if you've never heard it before, what it's referring to is that the boats represent the people and there's something that like is quite powerful that lifts all of the people. And if we could somehow figure that out as employers and leaders and salon CEOs, we'd be like, tell me what it is. What is it that lifts and motivates the people? And it's the unwritten, unspoken rules of engagement that make us us. It's your culture, the thing that you already knew, but you don't know what the buttons are to push or the levers are to pull in order to make it better or worse, or in this case, to make the tide go up. And a rising tide lifts all boats is particularly relevant in a salon at some point. Like once you learn how to make money and you can systemize that, then naturally what happens is you start to experience people problems.
Those good old nuggets. I do think there is this human condition that we think if other people are winning, then we must be losing. Do you think that's kind of, I don't know where we got that from, but there's some assumption that we can't all win. And so if I'm winning, someone else is losing, or if they're winning, then I must be losing. And so it becomes a bit of a fight.
Yes.
And instead what we're saying is actually when the tide rises, when you get better, actually everybody gets better and
yes.
and the whole industry gets better or the whole salon gets better or the whole team gets better or maybe even the whole world gets better or humanity gets better. That's kind of the underlying message, right?
It really is. And I think as the salon CEO, you know, if it's not clear to you, like you're steering the ship, like you're making the key decisions, and some of those decisions should definitely relate to elevating your entire team, elevating your entire business. And if you can figure out which ones those are, then you are the rising tide and it will lift all of the boats.
Yeah. Okay, I feel like this next one's you, Joel. Like you started this one. It's a pretty good one. But I hear you say this a lot, and that's like, well, what's the goal?
I do. I feel like I say that maybe 18 times a day, especially when I'm working with salon CEOs, because the problems that we hear, there's no new problems, by the way. Like
right.
all the
in
like,
the world.
No, they're all the same. Like, and that doesn't. Like I'm still sensitive and empathetic to every single problem that we hear, and there's solutions to every single problem that you've got, especially in the business context. That's our speciality. Personal relationships, that's not us. But when someone is in the problem, the first thing that we want to understand is like, so what does success look like for you? Like, what is the goal? Like, what do you want if not that which you have? Because that will determine and dictate the type of solution.
Mm.
Like if you're running at a loss and the goal is to run at a $500,000 profit, well, that answer is significantly different to, I just want to run at break even.
Mm.
And it would require different character, but also different resource. And it will determine how we shape your game plan or coaching or whatever the case may be. And so, knowing what you want is probably the number one thing that holds salon owners back from actually beginning their journey towards the top of the mountain. We're so good at knowing what the problem is. We actually we have PhDs in the problem. We are that good at salon problems. Not just me and Riss, you guys too. We are experts at the problem. And if you come to Salon Mastery, you're going to hear me say a lot like, what is the goal?
Well, it's a bit like arriving at an intersection and you're like, I just, you know, it's just so, okay, I'm just thinking of a problem. Mm. I've just got this problem. And Joel says, well, where do you want to go?
Mm.
You know, like the problem is I just don't know which way to turn. And Joel says, well, where do you want to go? And you say, well, I want to go south.
Mm.
It's like, oh, well, that's the road that way.
It's just over there. This
but if you're like, I don't know where I want to go, well, then you're just going to kind of stay in the intersection.
Yeah. This is cat in the hat. Like, where do you want to go? I don't know where I want to go. Well, then any old road will do. Like this is right. What the cat said, right? So this is the key. Like you have a thing called a business. It's a vehicle to do something.
Go somewhere.
It's to go somewhere, right? And if you don't know where that somewhere is, then, well, it's no wonder we plateau. It's no wonder we stall, get stagnant, or become disengaged with our own business.
Do you reckon there's this idea that like, where the wind will take me or my destiny or, you know, my God-sent path.
Fate.
Yeah, that's the one I was looking for, fate. And, like, it's not up to me. Like, I'm just kind of, like, whatever presents itself. And I certainly have lived that for part of my life at various times. Like, doors open up and you step through them.
Mm.
Not necessarily actively going, I wanted the yellow door.
Yes.
So I think there's a place for it. But maybe sometimes we forget that actually – we could just sit down for a minute and think about, oh, where do I want to go?
Mm.
Like, do I want to go south and go skiing or do I want to go north and sit in the tropics? Like, which one
totally.
Do I like?
Totally.
We just actually have to sit down and think and then believe that we've got what it takes to do the trip.
Can I give you the metaphor? This is Jim Rohn, this is not Joel, to what you were saying about the wind.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes, once you know where to go, like the wind blows on everybody, like the wind. And that's called life and circumstances, and you can't control that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What you get to control is the set of your sail. Mm-hmm. And once you learn that that's your responsibility and only your responsibility, you can go wherever you choose.
Great. Where are we off to?
Let's go to Bali.
Hey, I just wanted to quickly interrupt you and say, hey, a quick thank you Thank you for tuning in, and I hope you're loving this episode. But let me ask you, have you ever felt like you reached the top of the mountain only to realize there's another even bigger peak ahead? So if you have hit the $1 million revenue mark already, but suddenly the strategies that got you here aren't really working anymore, growth has slowed, you're making bigger decisions, managing a larger team, and the weight of it all, well, it's a lot. It's exactly why I created the Salon Mastery Boardroom, and it's an exclusive place designed especially for salon CEOs like you, where you've gained a high level of achievement already. In the boardroom, we discuss high-level strategies, leadership insights, business model shifts, and things that we need to reach the next big milestone. Sometimes you just need a new milestone. Inside of Boardroom, you'll also be surrounded by powerhouse women and men, a powerhouse of community and other $1 million-plus salon owners sharing insights, challenges, breakthroughs, because scaling to multi-million dollars, well, you shouldn't have to do it alone. So if you're ready to take your salon and your leadership to the next level, let's talk. I'd love to invite you to a complimentary $1 million strategy call. We'll map out your next steps, explore how Boardroom can support your journey. All you need to do is click now. I've put it in the show notes of this episode. Let's talk about your business and see if we're the right people to help you with your next step. All right, well, that's enough for me. And let's get back to the episode. Okay, I reckon we're at the last one, Joel.
Are we? Yep. Jeepers, yep. That was quick.
So how to eat an elephant? It's one bite at a time.
It is. So that's a metaphor.
It is a metaphor.
Because no one wakes up and goes, I want to eat an elephant. But in the world of productivity or running a business or running a salon, sometimes the work in front of us can feel like an elephant.
Yeah.
Yeah?
All the time.
All the time. Often. And so eating it one bite at a time, as simple as it may seem, because we know this stuff cognitively, but to actually practically go, what's the one bit that I'm going to do today that moves me a little bit forward? Like we often talk about just like, what's the one percenter?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What's the next 5%?
It's hard to do that sometimes when you can, one, you're sitting in the problem, because we sit in problems often as business owners. Totally. Like we spend a lot of time there because that's our job, solve the problems. And so it's hard to narrow down to one when you, like, how do I solve one when I've got five problems, and how do I focus on one, which is exactly why we do game plans.
Totally. This is what I was thinking of when you were saying that. I was like, yeah, this is why we do game plans.
We do game plans. Now, if you're sub $1 million, that means you're not turning over $1 million a year. We do 2 monthly game plans. It's a 2 monthly cycle. We chunk out about 6 weeks worth of like problem solving. We leave a bit of a 2 week, you know, gap for rollover, wrapping things up and not overcommitting. And if you're $1 million-plus, then we do quarterly. So it's 3 months because we can handle a bit more and we're a bit more efficient. And really the goal of that is chunking up the elephant, like just choosing what bite we're going to take and removing or giving permission to not do some things. It's a really important part of the process because your business will always be broken. Like, it will just always be broken because you can't focus on all of the things all of the time. So while you focus on one part of the business, the other part kind of starts to either stagnate or go down a little bit, or you're not fixing that problem at the moment. And that's okay because you're going to get one bit going efficiently, tidy it up, wrap it in, install it so it stays for the long haul. Because otherwise what happens is you're like, I used to do that thing. We used to do that thing. Remember the thing we used to do? I feel like I say this a lot, Joel. We used to do that thing. What happened to the thing? We don't do it anymore. And we're like, oh.
We used to do it. It was great.
Yeah, we forgot about the thing. And so it's a natural part of the business. So we're going to fix the thing. We'll get it back into production and working really well. We call it in the green, like it goes well. And then we can turn our attention to the red or the orange thing or, you know, the thing that's on fire. And we put out that fire.
Yeah.
And as long as we keep going around the different parts of the business and keeping those things topped up and working efficiently, then nothing falls apart and creates a big explosion.
Yeah. Is actually like what Riss is touching on here is what I would put in the category of like real business smarts. Like if you think about most big projects in your life, whether it's raising a kid, renovating a house, going on holiday, clearing out the garage, doing the wedding, how do you do it? You do it like you overwhelm yourself. And it's like, oh my gosh, we're going to pack and we're going to get the passports renewed and we're going to do all the stuff. And so our life is this reoccurring reminder of the exact opposite of this, but business is a vehicle to take you somewhere, and you're probably like me and Riss going to be in it for the long run. Like, it's part of like how we see ourselves. So you might as well learn not only how to enjoy it, but how to process work in a way that makes you feel a sense of progress, but also a sense of peace of mind each day, because you're not going to arrive at Perfectville probably ever. It will always be broken. And we think that if at the end of each day you've done a little bit, like the one percenter, a little bite, that's a pretty good way to experience success day to day.
I just want to say about the like business will always be broken. That doesn't mean it's in chaotic fires all of the time.
Oh no.
It just means everything's not perfect. Like, I remember in my first business, my salon, like having this goal that when I eventually get to my perfect team, and actually, like, you're just never there.
Mm.
Or if you're there, it's for a short time because someone's going to leave. And so I changed the goal, actually, not to have this perfect team with no change or chaos or drama. I just learned how to get good at managing all of those situations. So I got better.
Yeah.
And I changed the goal because otherwise we're after a false sense of reality.
Yeah, totally.
But it doesn't mean that we have to live in overwhelming chaos all the time. That's not what we're also alluding to when I say business will always be broken.
So to summarize all of that, because I want to leave you on a high, it's like whatever your lofty, ambitious, inspiring goal is, and you should have one, by the way, have one, get really clear about it, and then don't let it overwhelm you. Just each day do something, take one bite towards it. I think that's a really good way to summarize what we're talking about.
It's a slow step up the staircase.
Yes.
Or fast.
That's a good one. Maybe we'll have that one.
Yeah. No elephants. Take a step. Staircases. All right, Joel. So 500 episodes, like that's no, you know, small feat. It's 10 years of, God, I actually can't believe that. 10 years.
A decade of podcasting.
Yeah, that's quite a long time. So it's a number. It's quite a big number. It's a significant number. And when I started this 10 years ago, I certainly did not know that this is what we were building. I just wanted to help a few salon owners so I could see we're in a bit of trouble, and I knew the answer. And I knew they needed someone in their corner, because what I witnessed when I worked for the industry rather than in the industry is like a lot of people were doing it hard, and I'd been through that hard and experienced it, and I knew I could help some people. But I certainly did not know that we would be here doing the things, and you and I together doing the things. And I certainly didn't know that the answer was not necessarily to do more and just hustle more, but just work a little bit more smart, keep it simple, be consistent, have the right structures and system in place, have the right people in place, lead the people, let the people run the systems, let the systems lead the work. And I kind of feel like that's it. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, so good.
Don't you reckon?
So was it 9 or 10? It was 10 in the end, eh?
It was 9.5.
9.5. Well, that's a little bit of an insight into how we run and roll here at Salon Owners Collective, isn't it?
Certainly is. So all I want to say is, if you've been listening for a while maybe you've been, like some people I speak to have been along the journey and on the podcast right from the very beginning. And so I just want to say thank you for 10 years of hanging out, 500 episodes of, you know, us talking in your ear, for showing up, Nick, not giving up on your business or on yourself.
So true.
And I feel like this is just the beginning of what's coming for us.
Bring on 1,000.
Thanks, Joel. Thanks, guys.
Cheers.
And till next week. Ciao for now.
Ciao.